Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we spoke with Alex Abdo, staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union National Security Project, about government surveillance, individual privacy, and where the Constitution stands on those issues. The local chapter of the ACLU is partnering with Next Act Theater. Their season opener is a play whose subject could be ripped from the headlines: whistleblowing, integrity, privacy, and the choices we make. Perfect Mendacity by Chicago-born playwright Jason Wells opens tonight. I spoke with Next Act's producing artistic director David Cesarini and the ACLU Milwaukee chapter's development director Kristen Hansen about the play and the partnership between the two organizations. Cesarini explains why he chose this work to open the season.
The play was just attractive for me. It fits Next Act's mission, putting issues on the table for great discussion. But the writing is taut. There are wonderfully long scenes that are in real time. The characters are interesting. The relationships are dynamic and mysterious. And the layers of the onion get peeled. It's very entertaining. It's got a great blend of humor and mystery and drama. So it fits Next Act's bill perfectly.
The basic premise of the play is that there's somebody that we're not sure is a whistleblower. He might be, he might not be.
Right.
And he's about to undergo a polygraph.
Yes. His corporation is forcing a bunch of people to take polygraphs. They want to get to the bottom of it. So he goes to a consultant for training to try to beat the polygraph. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you noticed, just last week, a polygraph consultant was given 8 months in prison for his activity teaching people how to beat the test. And so it's quite, just in that alone, it's a fairly fortuitous choice.
I was going to say it's completely up to the minute in terms of political events.
Right, right.
And so the play takes that. And of course, with everything that's been going on in the news between WikiLeaks a few years ago and all of that continuing to build onto it, as well as Snowden, the most recent things. And that's continuing the whole NSA connection as well as MI6 and all of that. It all kind of it's in the zeitgeist right now.
It certainly opens the door for discussion of all those things. Though in a nutshell description of the play, I've come to realize it's about a man struggling with an emerging conscience. Jason Wells, the author, when asked why did you write the play, first he was wondering, could a method actor beat the polygraph test?
So that's where he started.
Yeah. But then he went on to say, how do we lie to ourselves? And what are the consequences of that, personally, relationship-wise, or a country lying to itself?
Well, and that idea of a man coming to grips with an emerging conscience is exactly what I think most whistleblowers do.
Yeah, yeah.
That all of a sudden they can't lie to themselves anymore.
Right. And this happens to be within a corporation, not necessarily, but it is government-connected. So, it's a great mix of issues and also humor and surprise.
So how does the ACLU connection come in?
Last year, we were approached by Brian Farisee, who his tiny little Phantom Cicada theater group was having some difficulties out in Delafield with censorship. And, we kind of looked at it, and was there real censorship going on, or was it just public pressure? That all worked out okay for them. And we wanted to give an award to Brian for standing in there and putting up with a lot of abuse, death threats. I mean, it was really terrible. And he said, you know who really should have that Civil Libertarian of the Year award is David Cesarini and Next Act Theater for saving us. Because if they hadn't stepped in and given us a place to perform this play, it really would have been censored. So we called David and said, you know, we've gotten this suggestion from Brian, and what do you think? And he said, I would be honored. And so that's kind of how that relationship started. And as we were collecting information for the award, one of the things that a staffer at Next Act sent to us was a lengthy email that David had sent to the arts community at large when this was happening and said, we cannot let this happen. We cannot let a play that is a farce, a silly little farce, turn into something that is censored and projects death threats and all of this going on. And one of the things he said, which I'm going to embarrass you right now, read this, is he said, this is about art. It's about speaking truth to power, answering ignorance with light, and responding to fear with humor. And I think that even works for Perfect Mendacity, because a lot of these issues are things that people are kind of scared of. Some people are scared of the thought that the NSA is surveilling us, that license plate trackers are tracking us, that there's a data fusion center that is collecting all of this data and coordinating it. It's kind of scary, and it's kind of so far out there that it's hard to grasp. Mm-hmm. So a play like this lets you think about it in a different way, absorb it in a different way, and then have that public dialogue.
On the other hand, there are also people who are scared that this needs to be the status quo, that we need surveillance because, look, the past 10 years, we have not had another serious terrorist attack in the United States. And so this play also opens the door for them to come in, the people who are on that side of these issues, to come and discuss and share their opinions about just what all of this, what all these issues mean to us as a nation. But I find it, getting back to the struggling for with an emerging conscience, a conscience about lots of things, about many inconvenient truths that we all are sort of aware of and yet try to ignore or get blocked out during our daily lives of struggling to survive. Are we really over the tipping point? Do I really need to drive an 8-cylinder vehicle that gets 15 miles to the gallon on the highway? But I have it, and it's great, and I feel safe. What's our food system really doing to us? It's a lot of issues that I think we know we need to address.
And one of the things this play does so well, I think, is that it doesn't draw specific conclusions for you.
Mm-hmm.
It allows all of those gray areas to be there and for you to make your own judgment.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that the ACLU is really trying to do with this, the subject of surveillance and privacy. And we wrote an op-ed for the Next Act newsletter that talks about this, is we truly are asking the question, where is the line between national security and individual privacy? We don't know the answer. We're not trying to say we know and it's a secret and get us to tell you. We really want to have that discussion. And this is one way that we can have that discussion. It's one thing to say we save money on policing by having license plate readers to catch speeders. So you don't need a human being sitting there, but you can have a license plate reader and you go through a stop sign or your speed or whatever and you get a ticket in the mail. That's nice. There are 3.2 million license plate images kept by the Milwaukee Police Department every single year. There are only 600,000 people in the city. So there's a giant database of license plate images sitting there. Might it be used for law enforcement? Maybe. What else is it sitting there for? And if you're a private citizen and you're not doing anything wrong, why is your license plate image from wherever you parked or wherever you drove sitting in a database someplace?
Mm-hmm.
These are questions that I think in a free society we need to ask.
And again, going back to the play and how this dovetails so well with, you know, raising those issues, is that there are always gray areas.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, there's never a full right or a full wrong until there is a full right. You know,
which,
it's like until somebody hits a point.
Which is why we're really hoping that people come to this play and, like I said, you know, absorb these ideas in a comfortable and accessible way and then have that discussion. Come to the community panel on October 6th and we're going to have some educational information in the lobby that people can read during intermission and really have a debate and a good discussion about things. And think about it a little bit. Give yourself the room intellectually to think about it a little bit.
Well, David, you're also in the play. You're playing one of the fellows in it, not one of the main characters. But for you as an actor in this, what are some of the challenges?
Well, the challenges of an actor being in the play is I'm also directing the play.
Right.
So, which was sort of a last minute decision on my part. I was very attracted to it as a director, and that decision was made. But then I also found that the part of Roger Stanhope was just sort of intriguing as this peripheral character, but yet very pivotal in the way things fall out. So I figured, okay, I think we can handle this. It's just he's in a small part of one scene, and then he's sitting outside of another scene for a lot of it. So and I have great people to work with and a great stage manager, and so we were able to direct ourselves and figure it out and go on with it. And technically, it's not an overly taxing show with sound and light cues and that sort of thing. So that shouldn't be.
So sitting in tech for you is not going to be too hard.
Not too bad. No, yeah. No. So, yeah. And we even have an intern coming in who's going to sit on the sound console. So
lovely.
You know,
yeah. That's great. Yeah. So you hope that this creates a bigger dialogue in the city? Is that what you hope? You want people to be thinking about things like surveillance and whistleblowing in a different way?
Absolutely. Or thinking about it, period. The driving force behind what we choose to put on stage at Next Act is that very desire to just simply get issues on the table and have discussion. And it doesn't have to be at Next Act. People go home, people go out to dinner, and there's something to talk about and something to consider so that the next time the issue comes up in the news, there's been forethought, there's been consideration on at least our patrons' part.
And what we're trying to do for our members, we started doing a couple of years ago and we'll be doing more of this, is to not only create events like we do Gallery Night now every spring and talk about civil liberties through visual art, but to find some of these performances where we can say to our members and our donors, here's a play that you should go see that allows us to think about some of these civil liberties issues. So we're doing an event on September 29th. A Sunday afternoon brunch, and then the performance of Perfect Mendacity, where we'll reach out to some of our donors and members, and we'll all get together and watch the play, and hopefully have a really good discussion about things afterwards.
It's a nice mix, art and civil liberties actually coming together and talking about it and having a dialogue.
It's indeed such a natural, because art is, of course, about expression and these kinds of issues. So, for instance, for Gallery Night in the spring, our topic is going to be privacy. And you can imagine that's such a broad topic that artists will be able to bring us pieces. You know, what does privacy mean to you?
And that comes up in this play, too.
It absolutely
privacy
does.
Is one of the things.
Especially today, when you've got Facebook and Twitter and all of this social media where somehow people put their whole lives out there, but there must still be some feeling that some things are private, and what are those things, and how can we use art to talk about that the way that we're going to talk about it through theater at the end of the month?
And historically, artists in say, behind the Iron Curtain have for years held up a struggle. Certainly in the theater, there was always a subversive play in Czechoslovakia, I think, before the Iron Curtain came down, Poland as well. So dissidents have certainly centered or been channeled through the arts, that's for sure.
It should be entertaining as well as thought-provoking, but it will be a lively night in the theater.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Okay. And not painful at all.
No, I've read the play twice, and I'm telling you, it's really good.
I want to thank you both so much for stopping by, and best of luck with it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
David Cesarini is the producing artistic director of Next Act Theater and the director of its season opener Perfect Mendacity, which opens tonight and runs through mid-October. Kristen Hansen is the development director of the Milwaukee chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. The ACLU is partnering with Next Act Theater for this production. There's a link to all of the activities and how to get tickets at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Up next, Lake Effect essayist George Burdes considers the lost art of listening. That's when Lake Effect returns right after this.